Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to episode 121 of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared, the official Pokemon podcast of comicbook.com. Let's go!
Yes.
I'm your host, Jim Biscardi. And I'm back this week. I heard Mark guest hosted last week. That's always very nice when he gets to come by the show to chat with my cohorts in crime, my Team Rocket, Megan Peters and Christian Hoffer.
Hello. And in this scenario, Jim, you would be the Meowth.
Wow. I mean, okay, that's fine. All right, never mind. I was going to make some joke about like, well, yeah, well, you're probably Wobbuffet, but I'm not even going to do that because I'm a bigger person.
Hey, I'd be happy to be Wobbuffet as long as I know that you're Meowth.
I mean, you've got the Galarian, you know, Meow thing going, you know.
I have a beard. That's it.
Yeah. Yep. That's Galarian Meowths.
That's true. Siege Luge in the chat says Meow says it multiple times on the show. He's the real brains behind this operation. So actually, yes, I will take your Meow thing as a compliment.
I mean, he says it, but is that actually the truth?
Yeah, Jim, what is Team Rocket's success ratio?
Just when Meow gets to take the reins, very high.
Let's be honest. None of them are the brains of the operation.
That's true. Wobbuffet's actual body, you know, the little his secret second head is the actual brains behind the whole thing.
Right.
Yes. Anyways, let's talk about Pokemon.
If you're new to the show, welcome. We are a Pokemon podcast that talks about all things Pokemon, whether it's the TV shows, the video games, the mobile stuff, the actual physical things that they do or create or make. We talk about it. This week is no different. This week starts off with, finally, we have a release date for Blastoise coming to Pokemon Unite. I feel like this is the one that ever since the game came out and we got the first trailer and all that stuff was happening, all we were getting was, when's Blastoise coming out? When's Blastoise coming out? When's Blastoise coming out? When's Blastoise coming out? And now we know! And I can't.
I love how they announced it, though. It was such kind of a like troll move. They were like, all right, here you go. It was so nonchalant.
Yeah, I think that their social media person is about as sick of getting asked about Blastoise as we are sick of asking about Blastoise Unite
when?
September 1st. So there 2 days go. From now.
2 days from now. So that's like, okay. But here's the thing, though. Given we've all had plenty of time to play with a bunch of the different, you know, characters and whatever in the game, what kind of dynamic do you think Blastoise is going to bring to the game?
I mean, he's a third defender. It looks like he can hit with some area of effect attacks. He's got a variant of the surf move that Slowbro, you know, has wrecked people with off and on. You know, that's mm-hmm. The big move there. Mm-hmm. So I am guessing that, you know, this is a defensive type Pokemon that is going to kind of stick around goals and basically blast anyone who tries to score goals on him.
Yep. Yeah, I think that's a fair. It'll be interesting to see his adoption rate, right? Or just like, or really, you know, if he you know, is he OP or what's going to be like? There's always a lot of questions like these when they add new heroes to games like this, right? And so I think it'll be I'm excited to see it, especially since it feels the game is a bit more balanced now, and now we're finally gonna get it. And more Pokemon Unite news, though. If you've been waiting, let's say if you don't have a Switch and you've been waiting to play the game and want to play the game on mobile, you get a free Pikachu.
Yep,
that's a nice little gift.
September 22nd, when the game comes out, you can get yourself a free Pikachu just by logging into the mobile version of the game. For those of us,
accounts?
Yes, you can. Their crossplay is available. When you hop on, to a mobile account for the first time, you'll get a free Pikachu. Or if you already picked Pikachu as your starter Pokemon, you will get EOS coins. So I think that's 6,000 EOS coins for free, which is about enough to buy a different free Pokemon.
Or I think it's enough basically to buy like whatever tier Pikachu is on.
Yeah, it's another one, the starter Pokemon.
Yep. So, well, that's nice. I do want to, this isn't on the rundown, but I did want to mention something, go on a little bit of a tangent, but it is Pokemon related. So bear with me here for a second. I was at my local comic book shop, picking up, another box of, Pokemon cards.
Cause you're addicted.
Cause I'm addicted. Well, look, I haven't gone through, I purposely have not gone through the first box because I like to open them on the show. And so we'll do that probably, you know, after the break, we'll open a couple up. But my kid was getting antsy and I'm like, no, this box is for the show. If you want other cards, we'll go get other cards. And so we did. Anyway, I didn't realize that these had come out, but apparently. So do you know what nano blocks are?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like the super tiny Lego things.
Yes.
Yes.
I knew that they had some Pokemon ones. I did not realize how many different Pokemon ones that they had.
They have a lot of Pokemon ones, Jim.
They've got a ton. I picked up a Gengar the other day. I want to build it. I'm going to build it later. But these are so freaking cool. They look impossible to build because the bricks are so tiny. But I had not seen. Like I had seen the Pikachu one, and I've seen I've seen one or two others. But like they have all the they have the starter Eevee evolutions from Gen 1, and a lot of really cool pieces. So my biggest thing is I want to see how big it is when it's all built, and just like how sturdy they are. But this may become like now that like while I'm in between waiting for Pokemon model kits.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This may be my new addiction, and I'm probably going to get super frustrated because I just have fat fingers, and these pieces look so tiny.
I I built the Eevee evolution ones. They look nice. I will say they definitely look nice. They definitely have like that nice sprite vibe. They are very frustrating to build. Also, I find that the instructions aren't nearly as clear as they need to be.
Oh, good.
But that's mainly because. I mean, I'm so used to like Lego, and Lego's pretty cut and clear when it comes to instructions. These are not that way. They take me significantly longer to build. One, because I have stubby fingers, but also because there's so many pieces. They're so tiny. My recommendation for you is to make sure when you have the pieces dumped out to put them in like a box so your cat or your kid doesn't like knock it over. Yeah, this one's
150 pieces. Gengar says it's only a level 2.
So
yeah, they are definitely difficult. I definitely would also say if you want it to stay that way, you're going to have to somehow seal it, because if that thing gets knocked off a shelf, it shatters. And
my biggest fear.
Yeah, so good luck finding them again. So put them out of reach or find a way to seal them.
So a couple of things I would recommend for you who are dealing with that can't really do the delicate pieces, invest in a pair of locking tweezers. I have multiple kinds. I use these for like my miniature builds, and they are, you know, just a freaking godsend sometime for those like little piddly parts. So it's like built kind of like an opposite of normal tweezer. So instead of the tweezer being open as the default state, it's closed. So you just literally like pick it up, and then you don't have to put any pressure on it, and then you can press it in and do it. So, you know, I use these with some of my fiddly parts. If you're dealing with little fiddly parts, I don't know, like, if you lose pieces a lot, you know, get like an apron and kind of like weight it down.
Yeah.
So like, you know, wear an apron and then like put it on the table and then like weigh that apron down. So you basically have like a cloth.
I have one of those for when I shave my beard.
You know, it's basic. Well, I mean, that will work for it. you know, I am kind of wondering when actual Lego will get the rights to Pokemon. They already are, you know, they already have the Mario line, which is super popular.
Well, but doesn't like Mega Bloks or whatever have the
Pokemon? I mean, it has it right now.
Yeah.
It doesn't have it forever. And I feel like the success of those Mario Legos, you know, just means that, you know, Lego will be coming for the rest of the Pokemon franchise. You know, they'll be coming for more Nintendo stuff. Like, you know, like,
good Lord, when that happens,
I feel like they're going to do the slow build to Pokemon. You know, they might hit up some other Nintendo franchises first, but when it gets to Pokemon, it's going to be like a game over situation.
I feel like the play there is they'll probably kind of do the multi build, you know, the multi piece builds, kind of like what, kind of what, you know, Mega Bloks does, only, you know, I think they're going to use some of that Bluetooth technology that's super popular.
Just to make it a bit more interactive than, you know, kind of like how the Mario one is, which makes sense.
Yeah. And my kid freaking loves the Mario one. They just came out with the Luigi starter set. And it's I'm going to have to buy this for him for Christmas. It's like, oh, man, like all he does is talk about the Luigi. Like he got the Lego catalog and it's like, oh, my God, they have a Luigi. Like, check this out. It's like,
Is there a Yoshi one out there for that?
I think there is a Yoshi. Give me a second.
I don't think it's like a starter set, like the Mario and Luigi one. I think it's like one of those like additional like packs you can buy that has like Bowser or, you know, the different like Piranha Plants and stuff like that. I think Yoshi's one of them because Luigi has his own colored Yoshi. It's not traditional.
Yeah, there is a set. So it comes with Mario's house and Yoshi on it. And I think that they're releasing... they've got a more, like, they have four more Yoshis coming, like four colored Yoshis.
Oh, that's cool.
So we'll see how this goes, but I wouldn't mind it, but those nano block ones, they test my patience so much.
Well, in that case, follow me on Instagram to follow my painful journey as I build this Gengar and hope to, you know, hope to God I don't throw it against the wall.
You know, when we do...
which is very likely to happen.
By the way, they did announce another of the real model kits, the Pokemon, the Bandai Spirits one. Gardevoir got announced in the last, like, month or so. So I pre-ordered that. That's not going to be out until, like, early next year. But Gardevoir is the next one. So I think we've got Lucario and Garchomp that'll be hitting stores sometime this fall. And I think there's, like, another mega-sized one. I buy all these, so give me a second.
Yeah, those I love, but those are, you know, being totally candid here, not very hard, but I do love them.
You know, it's because they're made for children.
Well, so. I mean, I understand that they are made for
children. They're like level zero in terms of putting together gunpla material.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we've
which I'm a fan of. So.
Look, I love it. I don't need glue. I don't need razor blades or tweezers or whatever.
No, I don't have to paint anything. I just have to put on stickers.
That's right.
I love it.
Some of those stickers.
Yeah.
My Mewtwo is still kind of looking off to the side somewhere.
You got like one crazy eye going.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the models, we've got Greninja and Garchomp. Then another big Eevee. A quick model, Mimikyu, and then Gardevoir. So,
oh, cool.
Those are all good picks.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. In other Pokemon stuff news, Build-A-Bear Workshop finally has announced an Umbreon, which I feel like is one of those things that was only a matter of time. And here it is. And it looks pretty cool. It's definitely one of the better ones. I mean, it's a very, you know, Umbreon is not a
complicated Pokemon.
It's
pretty simply designed.
Its design is pretty straightforward, but it looks pretty cool. Christian, you have any? What are some finer details on that one?
I mean, it's basically like the Espeon that we talked about like a couple of weeks ago. It's got the 5-for-1 sound chip. It's got a sleeper. It's got a hoodie. It costs $60. I always crack up about Umbreon. Like I love Umbreon. One of my favorite Eevee evolutions. But you know, this is the Eevee that sweats poison. That lurks in the shadows and only glows when it's about to like kill its prey. Perfect plushie. Get the Eevee that sweats poison on you.
Look, Christian, there's a reason they don't include Pokedex entries when they sell these things, okay?
It would have been on the Pokedex entry if they still had exclusive Pokemon cards, but, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They stopped that a while ago, haven't they?
It's been over a year. Yeah,
that's, I wonder why. I wonder if it's like weird, some like weird supply chain stuff where like they had to stop because like they just couldn't get them or whatever. Who knows?
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. It really wouldn't.
Some of those actually go for like stupid money on eBay. The cards do. Yeah. So do some of the actual Build-A-Bear plushes themselves. So,
yeah, I was always surprised by how much those things go for. It's just nuts.
Yeah. So, I mean, I wonder like where they go next. If you had to pick, what Pokemon do you want Build-A-Bear to come out with next?
Well, let's hear. I feel like I would like to see a Rowlet and maybe a Cyndaquil. Like, I feel like of the starters for Pokemon Legends, you know, they don't really do like one-to-one, like, oh, here's the big Pokemon thing that comes out. We better come out with a corresponding Build-A-Bear. They did it for Detective Pikachu, and that's how we got like Snubbull of all freaking Pokemon.
Who's going to Build-A-Bear going, ah, yes, I want the pink mean looking dog.
Yes. Give me the frilly bulldog, if you would. I think that Rowlet would be a good one, although it doesn't have arms. So I don't know. That disqualifies. That disqualifies it. Riolu would be a good one. I don't know.
Oh, Riolu would be a good one. I am actually shocked that they have not done a Riolu yet.
Well, they done a Togepi, because I feel like that's really obvious.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
I feel like that's the most obvious pick. I mean, that's, they could like sell it with a backpack. Yeah, they could sell it with a little backpack or something. I mean, I would be.
Oh man, if they sold it with Misty's backpack.
Yeah, like if they had like the little duffel bag that she kept Togepi in. I mean, because my pick is Vaporeon, but I've already been served by Build-A-Bear, so now I'm just getting extras. Yeah, I think Togepi would be a really good like pick, and it's a pretty well known Pokemon, so I don't see any issues with it.
I bet you before all of those, we get a Bidoof.
Oh
no, Bidoof would be a solid choice.
Calder 027 wants to know if we need Geodude.
No, I mean, yeah, no. Obviously. It doesn't need legs.
No one asks for that.
I'm being realistic here. No one, like, they come out with the Geodude. One, I will be shocked. But two, there's no way in hell that's coming.
I was about to say. And three, if there is a Geodude plush that gets released by Build-A-Bear, someone's probably getting fired when, like, the sales end up being one in Nashville. No, and that's literally it.
Yeah. I feel like Jim would buy minimum of two.
Yeah. No, I would buy a small army.
Yeah,
and it would still be like the least Pokemon sales ever.
Will you stop it? Now you're just being mean to be mean. Anyway, Umbreon available at your local Build-A-Bears or online very, very soon. So check those out. If not already, but I think it's like within the next week or so. Also, a bit of a tangent, only because I saw the news hit kind of over the weekend. The Pokemon Company really needs a good shoe collab. All these other franchises are getting really awesome sneaker collaborations stateside. And where's the Pokemon one?
They're all in Japan.
I know they're all in Japan. Give me the. I need one stateside. I saw the Puma Animal Crossing ones look friggin' great. Reebok's been doing a whole bunch with a whole bunch of different franchises, right? Like, I need a Pokemon one.
The Japanese Adidas, I think it was Adidas crossover, was so cute because it had like the little Pikachu stripes, the sprite, and then the three stripes on the Adidas were yellow, and it had a little tail as like the tongue on the back of the shoe that lets you get the heel on. Man, I wanted it so bad, and I finally found someone who was selling it, but I couldn't pull the trigger on the international shipping.
Shipping and like import fees and all that stuff is so nuts, because like I was looking the other day, I wanted to pick up I wanted to try and get a copy of the first weekly shonen that had the first My Hero Academia show up in it, just because so it's not very expensive to get that. All of it, you pay literally almost the same price in shipping and import fees and all that. Like, I think it's like averaging like $150 to $200, which, you know, for what it is, not that
that's
bad.
That's why before the pandemic we had conventions, because the people would come to conventions and sell them to you. You'd also have to pay the convention premium, but
yes, no, you know, for sure.
Usually wasn't as bad.
Jim, is there like a market for like first issue like Shonen Jumps and stuff like that? Like,
not yet. I would imagine it's coming. It's coming. I just like just from a collector standpoint, I just like it's. I love it so much. Like, I love that franchise so much that is a thing that like it's reasonably priced. And so like, why not? Like, just say you have it. And then like, if it blows up, then great. It blows up. I was actually shocked at what most people were selling it for. I thought it was going to be much, much more. The first one that's got Dragon Ball in it, also moderately priced, which I was shocked. I was pretty shocked by, but again, you know, most people are selling it from Japan and it's just like, oh, okay.
Anyway. Well, and they're printed on newsprint, if I recall.
And they're correctly. They're harder to keep in mint condition. Well. Yeah, they don't hold up as well. But anyway, I just like there's no way you can get them graded because they're basically the size of, you know, small phone books. Thickness wise. And so CJ Luge in the chat, back to our builder discussion, Stuffle or Beware would be perfect. Beware, I mean, that's the obvious one.
Yeah.
Yeah, really? I just wish they'd make like a mega sized Build-A-Bear for Beware, since it's supposed to be.
You can't do those. You can't do those like when you're at the store though, because it just takes up so much stuffing. Look, who did that for 7 years,
as someone who used to
fill logistics process.
You gotta appreciate the economy of stuffing to skin ratio.
Jim has stuffed many a skin at Build-A-Bear.
That's right.
That's so creepy.
Right, now we're getting into the conversation.
We have to go to a break really quick, but I just want to mention this one last thing. I actually don't know what this is, but Christian, you put it on the thing, a Yamper PC cushion.
Megan, do you want to handle this one? You know.
So I mean, if you're watching this podcast, you know I have atrocious posture when I type or when I'm doing anything on the podcast. And basically, PC cushions have become a thing in like cute culture, e-boy culture, stuff like that. They're just little plushes that you hold in front of your desk, and they make you keep your back straight, and you have to like keep your arms around them at a certain angle to be able to type, which gives you correct typing and sitting posture while working. Which, you know, for people working at home for the last, you know, however long, very necessary if you want, you know, to not have a hunch in your back. So now they've released a Yamper PC cushion. So it comes with like a little fake little keyboard that you can put your own on and type around him. And it also functions as just like a really cute plush. So they've come out with several PC cushions before for Pokemon. They've had Pikachu as one. And now Yamper's here, which is just freaking adorable because everyone loves that little electric corgi. So it is currently being sold in Japan through Premium Bandai, which is a little strange, but you know, hopefully it'll come through the Pokemon Center US stateside before too long. Because I would love some posture corrections from Yamper.
Yeah, I usually just put my chair up at full tilt so it's straight up, and just move my chair as close to my desk as possible so I have no room to slouch.
Hey, whatever works for you.
But those are cool. Actually, I had seen people use them. I didn't realize that they had a name, and that there was that big of a market. But if there was ever one to do, Yamper's a great one. So,
mm-hmm. So 10 out of 10.
Well, 10 out of 10. All right, we're gonna take a quick break. When we get back, we're gonna talk about those Pokemon Go updates and. Evolving Skies. We're going to talk more about Evolving Skies, and I will break open some cards when we get back. 60 seconds. See you later.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And we're back. Welcome back, everyone, to A Wild Podcast Has Appeared, the official Pokemon podcast of comicbook.com. Time to talk some Pokemon Go.
Yes.
Looks like rightful outrage on the internet can get you what you want.
Well, you know, I wouldn't really call it, you know,
it was outrage and it was justified.
Yeah. I mean, I think
I would agree with that.
I mean, you're right. I don't think that was the only reason why. I think that, you know, I think that's what sparked it. But also, I think that, you know, it would have been.
Do you think the blackout worked? Do you think people not playing?
Yeah, I think
they noticed that.
I do. I mean, I think that calling it outrage, I think like really undersells. You know, just because like people get outraged about everything on the internet. Yeah. Like, I think this goes just a little bit beyond that. You know, if. It was very universal.
Yeah. It was an outcry.
Yeah.
I think that's probably more the better word to use. But basically, Christian, you want to go through what they said, like, to some folks up, in case you haven't played Pokemon Go in a while or haven't been listening for a while or whatever. Niantic made a bunch of changes to Pokemon Go. One of the biggest changes that they made were to a lot of the accessibility features, where a lot of distance rules that they had set for Pokestops and gyms and remote raids and all that. And so those that was the biggest sticking point. And they also made a few other things here and there. A bunch of big time Pokemon content creators on YouTube, Twitch, etc. really came out against this and said, like, this is it is unsustainable. It is it is inaccessible, etc. And it looks like that Niantic had a bunch of conversations with these creators and came to this new decision. So Christian, run us through what some of those are.
So they said that they're going to have results of, you know, they formed this like task force, which was like the most ridiculous thing, like in and of itself. You know, that's, I think, what really ticked people off was when they're like, oh yeah, we're going to have a task force to look into these problems. And like a couple of weeks later, like people were just like, you know, that was when they're like, yeah, of course, you know, you're not listening to us. And they're like, whoa, our task force is going to, you know, make a full recommendation later, but we are reversing our decision about the pandemic, reversing that pandemic distance. The interaction distance will permanently be set at, I believe it's 80 meters, which is what it's been during the pandemic. This will be a permanent change. You know, they will not reverse this at any point in time. You know, I think that for Pokemon Go, the reason why they wanted to revert this back was because groups of people standing around is the best advertisement for Pokemon Go.
Yep.
You know, you see a bunch of people standing around doing raids or, you know, at a Pokestop and stuff like that. It looks really good. It gets people interested. It's very, you know, it's that grassroots level marketing that they want. The problem with that, and I think that people still will do that when we are not in a pandemic. The problem is one, we're still in a pandemic, and two, those changes were really good. Like, you know, like it is really fiddly to be like, you know, because I think it used to be 20 meters away. And it's like, and sometimes like the locations, the GPS locations do not sync up to the actual real world locations. And so from an accessibility standpoint, it was just a it just made more sense. And so, you know, people got really ticked off about it. Niantic kind of ignored it. And then they said, OK, we're switching it back. And I think that that in and of itself, you know, we'll make a huge difference. Like people can still interact inside of vehicles. People can still, you know, gather around and do socially distance when you're only 20 or 40. Okay, it was 40 meters. Excuse me. You know, when you're only 40 meters away, you know, that kind of forces you to, you know, bunch together.
Get up and go.
You know, it's not that much space when you think about it. And like I said, it encouraged the wrong sorts of things. And also, you know, not all these places are necessarily handicapped accessible. Not everyone, you know, is comfortable with getting out of their cars and stuff like that. It just adds an extra level of flexibility. So we don't know what the task force will be. We do know that this 80 meters is going to be the permanent change. And that's a good thing. So that's the big news. It was a big deal. Like, you know, yeah. That's, you know, Pokemon Go has had this issue where they don't exactly listen to the fans. You know, they say they do, they listen, but you know, I think that,
look, Christian, we have not gotten Flower Crown Eevee at all this year. So, I think they do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, you know, they will go and try to fix things like it's like two steps forward, one step back sometimes. Like they said, they're going to fix community days and they did. And you know how they fix community days? They nerfed the research breakthroughs. Like research breakthroughs are worthless now. I don't want a Ditto. I don't give a crap about Ditto. Everyone has a Ditto at this point. It's been 5 years since Ditto came into the game. Like, you know, like, yeah, it's OK. Like, you know, for people who didn't do Pokemon Go Tour, they're adding shiny Ditto to the game this month. For everybody. And it's like, okay, that's cool. Get it in the wild. You know, it's a not that uncommon of a Pokemon. And it's just like, yeah. Whatever. But anyways, you know, that's the biggest news coming out of Pokemon Go. They also announced a bunch of their September events. We're getting the Psychic Spectacular. We're getting Fashion Week is back, which means we'll have new costumed Pokemon.
Mm-hmm. We're getting like a new season.
We are getting a new season, and that's the other big thing that's coming is mm-hmm. they are continuing the Hoopa storyline. And, you know, which this is the first time that they've really done an extended storyline. Hoopa's been around the game now since Pokemon Go Fest last month, and it's continuing to create mischief. That's how we got the Galar Pokemon showing up right now. And so now we're going to continue that storyline into September. There's a little bit of confusion as to how to get Hoopa. There's going to be a special research task. From my reading of it, it makes it sound like there's going to be, you know, multiple chapters of the special research that will like unlock during during different times of the during like different over the next 3 months, basically. And yeah, sorry, I got totally thrown off by something that just popped up on my computer. But, you know, other people seem to think that you're going to get Hoopa on September 5th, which is when the special research kicks off. I don't think that's the case. We'll find out. Like, they have a new Pokemon Go blog, and it's confusing. I think that's the best way of describing it. Yeah. Okay. Anyways, but yeah, so Hoopa's coming, 80 meters for all, Fashion Week is back, we're getting the Psychic Spectacular. Honestly, September's events are kind of like a low-key event. Oh, and Giovanni is being pulled out of the game.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, you cannot fight Giovanni during the month of September.
I guess he's going. He's going on a vacation. He's going on a trip. He's going somewhere.
I'm assuming that they're going to set up for something where, like, if I had to take a guess, you're going to be able to get Hoopa, the Hoopa confined form, and then Giovanni's going to show up with the Hoopa unbound or something like that as part of the running storyline.
Makes sense.
Okay, so I did something in the background. Obviously, you heard me ripping open a whole bunch of Pokemon packs. But anyway, I was only going to go through the cards that had. I'm just going to like go through them really quick, and if we have anything, I'm only going to do the ones that I got white code cards for, because obviously we know those are the ones. I haven't looked. I have set aside the white code cards as opposed to the other ones, just because we don't have time for that. Well, go ahead.
Well, speaking of the code cards, I totally forgot to put this on. This is the other big story. They're finally going to get rid of Pokemon trading card game online.
Oh, right. Because the rumors are...
We know.
Oh, we know. So we're getting a replacement.
We're getting some sort of replacement. We don't know what the replacement is. We have a name. It's Pokemon TCG Live on the November packaging for the next one, the Fusion Strike.
Which is also not on here, but I figured we'd talk about it after.
Yeah, but they have gotten rid of Pokemon Trading Card Game Online and are now calling it Pokemon TCG Live, and calls it an app.
But there has to be some way that they connect one from the other, because there is no way that they are just going to nuke people's digital card collection.
I don't think they're going to nuke it. I mean, there's a couple of possibilities here. It's could be similar to like a Magic Online, compared to like Magic Arena. You know, Magic Arena is the app. Magic Online is like a browser based thing. So there could be that. They could just be updating Pokemon trading card game online because they haven't made an update to that in like 5 years. been bad. Like, you know, it's really awful. So I think that's what it's going to be, is they're just doing a total and complete overhaul.
Look, if we've been talking about a while, right? Like, if Pokemon launched a Magic the Gathering style, style online kind of like ecosystem / gameplay thing, like that would be huge.
Yeah. No, I've been banging that drum for freaking months. Basically since I started playing Magic Arena, which, you know, got me back into Magic for literally the first time ever. Like, I've never really had any strong interest in Magic. And, you know,
does Magic have the same kind of physical to digital component kind of thing? No, it does not.
No, not that I know of. I don't buy physical booster packs, but I don't think it does. They give away a pretty fair amount of packs, but they have a pretty clear delineation between the digital packs and the physical packs. I could be 100% wrong. Maybe this is something that got changed, but all the codes that I've seen are all like promo codes and whatnot. So, an update to that app would just be so freaking huge. And honestly, you know, in terms of physical product right now, Pokemon is doing a lot better than Magic. And this, you know, an actual app
by a lot better. I mean, we mean like a lot better.
Yeah, at least in like hobby stores, the sales charts just say that Pokemon just selling like crazy. And you know, one of the things that the Pokemon trading card game has tried to do in recent, you know, in the last like 2 years or so, is they're like, you know, because kids love the card game. No kid knows how to play the card game.
Yep.
And part of that is because you have to go to in-person events. You need to have your parents come and do it. You know, like me, you, Megan, how we all learned how to play the Pokemon trading card game, I'm assuming, is the Game Boy game.
No.
You know,
R Us.
Yeah, you did. You were one of those people. Yeah.
Toys R Us was one of the big places I learned how to play too.
I also had the game. but I started with Toys R Us.
I honestly really learned how to play the game through the Game Boy Color. That game. That's how I learned all the basics of it. And I thought that and they need something like that, you know, like yes. Yu-Gi-Oh has, you know, video games where, Yu-Gi-Oh game.
They basically need like the Master Academy just digitally somewhere is really what they need. All right. Well, let's talk about Evolving Skies for a little bit. Christian, what are the cards for Evolving Skies? As I just kind of go through some of the ones I put, first one I pulled was a Golurk V card, which is pretty cool. We'll note for those who have been paying attention or following along, I have opened many packs and I have gotten zero evolutions. Zero. Man. Just straight up zero evolutions. So first white code card holo was a Golurk. Second one is still not an evolution. Medicham V card.
Yeah, so, there you go. That's another V card.
Yep, another V card. So that's pretty cool.
Jim Viscardi racking up those V cards.
I mean, I would just stop it. Let's see. I got a regular holo Slaking. I would say I've opened about 15 packs so far today, and I got a bunch of just like, you know, obviously I got a bunch of just random commons and whatever. Galarian Articuno. That's a pretty cool one.
I'm a fan of those. Like, it's kind of like, I really wish I could have got my hands on, one of those, the V or the V Max cards that they had.
It's because you love Articuno. Let's see what else I got. I got a holo Florges. That's basically all the ones I got. So still no evolutions in my EV box.
What you're looking for, the big cards in the set are any of the alternate art cards, like those things, like they have created a brand new market. You know, we've talked about these a little bit. One of these times we're just going to do like a big gallery and ooh and ah over all these alternate art cards that they've released this year. You know, they brought these alternate art cards back this year, 2021. Any of the sets that have been released this year have those new art cards in them.
Art cards only on the evolutions?
No, Rayquaza has one too. Give me a second. Let me.
All right. So I would imagine the evolutions or the dragon cards that they've added back into play here.
Yeah. So the most expensive card in the set right now is the Rayquaza VMAX alternate secret art card. Umbreon VMAX, the alternate secret art card, is also going for big bucks. Both of those are consistently selling over $200. In terms of the $100 cards, you can chuck in the Sylveon VMAX alternate art card and the Rayquaza V alternate art cards. The Rayquaza V's got Linnea in it from the Delta episode of Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire. She's always been a fan favorite. So that's just like easy money right there. The Glaceon VMAX, Umbreon V, Leafeon VMAX, Dragonite V, the Rayquaza Secret Rainbow, Espeon V, Glaceon V.
The Rayquaza Secret Rainbow is selling less than the alternate art?
Oh, yeah. The alternate art. So it used to be that those rainbow rares were the
gold ones, too.
Yeah, the gold ones were the other ones. And those were, you know, the hot commodities. But these art cards just look so gorgeous. Like I said, that's just a totally different world. They just look so good. But anyways, all of those are selling for more than $50. And like I was telling Jim this before the actual show, usually how these sets have worked historically, and the prices can fluctuate, but, you know, we've done pack openings and stuff like that. And I'll run onto TCG Player and kind of like look at what the prices are right after release. And usually there's maybe like two cards most that are like selling for more than $100. They're always like,
Styles, I think, only had like two.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, and then after that, there's maybe like another one or two cards that sell above 50. But we're usually talking like $100 is where these things top off at. And so for that Rayquaza VMAX card, right now it's selling at $300. you know, they have like figured out like how to do it. Well, I swear to God, in 2022 we're going to get secret lair drops.
Oh man, I'm going to save this one for you. Next time we see each other in the office.
Oh, look at that.
My daughter!
Got a Vaporeon VMAX card just for Megan.
Look at that delightful.
Yeah, that's literally the one that I want.
I'm going to put it someplace safe. Right there.
Cry.
That is, next time we're in the office, Megan, that one is yours.
Well, it's like it only talking about like how much these cost, and I was like, so to be able to get my full collection that I dream about, yeah, I'm gonna have to win a small lottery.
Actually, that one, you wouldn't need to win a small lottery, since that is the standard one. They didn't come out with an alternate art card of Vaporeon VMAX because they're saving that for a promo. It's only like $5 online.
Oh.
So yeah, it's still
it's special,
pretty cool.
It's special that Jim got it just for
not
me.
Knocking Jim's accomplishment of randomly pulling a card. There's a Trevenant.
Trevenant.
That's terrifying.
That's a pretty cool one. I'm a little upset though. I mean, I just randomly pulled two white code cards in a row. And so like, okay, yeah. I can't be too mad, but like I've only gotten one.
Are the white code cards? Is the white code cards how you know that you got like something good?
Yeah. So like this is what the green ones look like.
Okay.
And then the white cards are, that's how you know you've got some. That's how you know you got the money. Mainly because the foil cards, that like, you know how like people just like will weigh cards. Mm-hmm. The foil cards weigh more.
Mm-hmm.
And so the white code cards are thinner than the green code cards.
Learn something new.
Yep. So that's
every week on this podcast.
That's how they tell the difference. But we're running low on time. I'm going to still keep opening. Let's get to the Pokemon fact of the week. Let's see if I pull another Eeveelution. Oh shit! Another white code card. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to curse.
There's our one.
There's our one.
Yeah. Hey, what? Show us, Jim!
Right,
pull it back just a little bit.
It's coming. It's the plain Rayquaza VMAX card.
Okay.
But, I mean, all I wanted was the Rayquaza card, and we got one.
Very nice.
This has been a great day for both.
This has been a great day. Look, it started off really slow. There it is in focus. We came to win.
That's a gem.
You got a $5 card.
That is a $30 card right there.
Hey, all right. It's a great looking card. I mean, the full art and everything. Like, it is a nice card. So I'll take that one.
Yeah,
thank you, Evolving Skies.
Yeah, that's a nice card. In part because Rayquaza VMAX has a pretty neat ability. The Azure Pulse allows you to discard your hand and draw three cards. So, you know, discarding like one card or something like that in order to, you know, basically draw three at the start of every turn is pretty great.
I'm on a bit of a hot streak. I just opened up another white code card.
Oh, man. We're going to eventually get to this Pokefact of the week. But, you know.
This one's actually super cute. And it doesn't look like it's a normal thing. It's a Garbodor.
Okay. No, that's just a standard.
What you can always tell that is.
Let's see here. Garbodor.
I like that Garbodor. He's super adorable. Man, I am pleased. I thought for sure I was like, oh man, I'm having terrible luck. I'm not gonna get anything. I mean, look, still, again, I only got one Eevee card. But hey, if you're watching on Twitch, can someone clip the my reaction to the Rayquaza card? Because, oh snap, I got another white code card.
Oh, geez, Jim
just hit his stride.
Are these all from the same box? Because same you box. Know we're
this
looking
is just
at
just a normal holo Marshadow.
Okay. No, not quite as exciting, but still cool. Let's do the Pokefact of the week.
The Pokemon fact of the week.
This is pretty well known to a lot of Pokemon fans, but if you are a newer fan of the Pokemon franchise, you might not have known this. Meryl originally could change genders when they evolved. One out of every three female Meryls would actually evolve into a male Azumarill when they evolved, and basically Gen 2 up to Gen 5. So they did do away with this little quirk. It has, I'm not sure if they ever like fully explained, like there was a gender disbalance. So there are more female Meryls to it's not a 50-50 ratio of female Meryls to male Meryls. But there is a 50-50 ratio for female Azumarills to male Azumarills. And so because of that disparity, for whatever reason, you know, there was actually a chance that Azumarill would switch genders when you evolved it. They did like fix it, not fix it, but they changed that. So that's no longer the case starting with Gen 6. But, you know, something pretty interesting. This was pretty well known. You know, to be honest, like Meryl and Azumarill aren't the most exciting Pokemon, like in terms of like Pokefax. But, you know, that is probably what they are best known for, other than the fact that, you know, they were briefly known as Pikablu. You know,
I would say never forget the legend of Pikablu.
You know, speaking of Pikablu, there is an official Pokemon thing that does refer to Meryl as Pikablu. The Mewtwo Strikes Back. Really? The Mewtwo Strikes Back Topps cards. So they had a card that featured Meryl. And since the cards were in production, you know, farther along than like probably the localization efforts, one of the cards actually refers to Meryl as Pikablu because they were never given the actual name for Meryl. I'm sure they were, but it was too late to print them. So
so they were just like, yep, that sounds about right.
They looked it up on the internet.
Like there's some Pokemon fan forum somewhere. And it was just like, oh, it's named. We've seen it. This looks familiar. It must be Pikablu.
Yeah. It was pretty interesting. That was the other like kind of like funny thing. It's like I forgot that like actual things referred to it as Pikablu due to its very slight resemblance. And then, of course, Meryl actually originally wasn't even blue. It was a pink mouse in the beta. So Meryl was originally this like pink sealy mouse thing. And they changed it to a blue rabbit thing. So,
all right, guys. Well, I only had 5 packs left, and so I'm barreled through them. And I have pulled. So I. okay, I'll go to the boring one first. Dracozolt VMAX.
Okay, very nice.
Pretty cool card. I finally pulled the box's secret rare.
Oh.
And it is Leafeon.
Aww.
Rainbow rare.
Rainbow rare.
Cute.
And then Christian, tell me if this is an alt. Is there a way on the card to say if it's alternate art?
Let me see. It depends, but usually if it's a secret one, that is the secret rare. That is the Umbreon secret rare.
That's the Umbreon secret rare. We're just talking about Umbreon art today.
So that Leafeon VMAX is a $25 card. And the Umbreon VMAX, the alternate art secret card, that is worth some money, Jim. Or really? That's the V. That's the Umbreon V, right?
It's the Umbreon V, not V.
So I'm pulling it up now. I'm making sure it's the right one. Come on. I think
we gotta,
it's like
we gotta know.
Another white.
We gotta let Jim know what his investments are worth.
Umbreon. Come on. I keep on pulling up the wrong Umbreon.
Well,
and it is a $70 card. Well, and that Umbreon V card, you know, to be 100% honest, that is like my favorite depiction of Umbreon, I think, in all times. Like it's standing on the top of this little brick wall. It's looking down at all these like other like dark Pokemon. Like it's like the dark king of the alley. And it's like eyes look super intense. The moon's behind it. It's stripes are glowing. Just a freaking cool card.
Yeah, that is a cool card. And then my last pack was a white code card, but just a normal hollow Hydreigon.
So I wonder if, since you opened those all from the same set, I wonder if you get one alternate art card and one secret rare card.
That generally is how it goes. You generally get a rainbow. There's a rainbow rare, secret rare in there. I get, it looks like you get one alternate art card in there, and then, you know, any variation. But look, we started out with zero evolutions and we ended up with four. So
can't complain too much about that.
So that was fun overall. Like I said, I love this set. I think it's got some great looking cards. I know we didn't show all of them on stream, but for those listening, you don't care anyway. It's a great set. They seem to have printed quite a bit of these. And so like, even though, so don't let the high prices on the secondary market scare you. Like a lot of stores still have them. Now it just came out this week. So you probably have maybe a week or two to try and get your hands on some packs. But like I said, if you can, I would grab Evolving Skies is what's there. And then obviously we'll really quick mention there's another set coming out. That's got Mew all over it. And the name I just had a brain fart about it.
Oh, well, the Mew one is Fusion Strikes.
Oh, Fusion Strikes. That was what I was talking about. Yeah. That's an expansion.
Yeah. Right? That's the full set. So that's the full set. I'm making sure I'm getting Fusion Strike is the name of the set. So it's all about Mew. The interesting thing is so the V Union cards that, you know, keep popping up, those seem to be limited to just the boxes. That does not seem to be a, set that you can just, you know, they don't seem to be putting V Union cards in packs, which is probably a good thing.
Well, and then Christian, real quick before we go, there's that promo card that people are getting shape about.
So this is a as part of the release, whenever they release these sets, they always come out with like lenticular card or not lenticular cards. They always come out with like promos for it that they send, like their marketing kits that they send to the stores, and the stores distribute them as they see fit. This time they are coming out with like a poster sized card. It's like, you know, one of those like jumbo sized cards that you sometimes see in like boxes and stuff like that. But it uses lenticular printing. And so it is a it's an Umbreon / Espeon VMAX card. And so like, you know, lenticular means that, you know, when you tilt the card in a certain angle, when you view it, it changes the image. Sometimes it comes with a 3D effect. Sometimes it like does the animation and stuff like that. Like basically any 2D printing that you kind of like move to create a motion, that's lenticular. If you're a comic book fan, you know what I'm talking about.
Right, exactly.
Because like DC was freaking obsessed with these for like a hot minute.
Oh, like a whole month. Like they just like put out a whole bunch of them.
They did them like 3 years in a row, and it was like, you know, these all suck. And it didn't help. It didn't help. Like, not only like the covers were like, okay, that's interesting, but like the actual comics they're attached to, like by and large, just were bad.
So anyway, there's a Pokemon version of this that is out there that stores, you know, some you can get from some stores. Everyone's going nuts for it. It's like one of those. It's like Christian. It's one of those jumbo cards that usually come in the you know, like the box sets, usually like those that you would get at like a Walmart or a Target or whatnot. And you know, if you get one, great. If not, you know, don't worry about it. You can't play with it anyway.
Yeah, it's just one of those like nifty things that people are already trying to hawk for like $400 or $500.
Yeah. Oh, gross.
Yeah, you can't even grade it either, so who cares.
All true.
Anyway, hey, it's good to be back, guys.
Yeah, well, we'll see you in like 3 weeks.
They missed you last week. Thank you all for tuning in this week. If you watch live, we always love having you. We do this live every Monday, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, 5 to 6-ish across the pond, depending on the time change. And twitch.tv/comicbook. Otherwise, you can find us on YouTube and Facebook. We do it there as well. But if you want to get in touch, feel free to hit us up at PokemonPodCB on Twitter. Otherwise, you can find me at Jim Viscardi.
You can find me on Twitter at Megan Peters CB.
And you can find me at C Hoffer C Bus.
And for those listening, I will post pictures on my Instagram of the polls that we got today, because we got some great ones. So if you want to see what those look like, head on over. You can find me at Jim Viscardi over there as well. Thank you all for tuning in this week. And until next week, may the shiny luck be in your favor. And we'll catch you next time. See you, everybody.